How you doing? God, you guys look asleep. I'll just make the sound for you. Well, that's fine. So I'll get it out of the way. Yeah, I'm here with one arm, and there's no excuses when it comes behind this pulpit. So I have a couple of little screw spots in my arm. Supposedly the screws will actually dissolve on their own. In 2 weeks, I will have a quick checkup to see whether I start PT, which is supposedly where the fun begins, so I hear. It'll be probably a couple months before I get back to work. In the meantime, I've been doing my reading, doing some studying, talking to different people, and I've learned real quick that while I'm not at work, I have work to do. So, I had a couple different messages that I could have gone through. I have about a half hour, you said, about 30 minutes? Okay. And I was praying to do a different message for a long time because I'm honestly scared to death of the other one. But the longer we kind of, you know, things happened, we kind of got put off a little bit. I started continuing working on the message that I didn't like so much. And it started to kind of come full circle for me. And come to find out, it's actually going to be the one you're going to hear tonight. Before I start, I want the church to know that I love them and I'm thankful for all of you.
Amen.
We've come a long way together as a church. And this church has helped our family more than I can put into words. There's been a lot of humbling going on lately for me. And this message isn't just for you guys. It broke my heart a couple times while I wrote it. So it makes me want to say before I ever get started that if there's any separation, if there's any issues, if there's any trouble between me and anyone in this room, please come see me. I'm sorry if that is the case. If I've ever done anything to hurt anybody, if I've ever said anything wrong, if I've ever frustrated anybody, turned you away, pushed you from God, if I've done anything like that, please forgive me and come talk to me. Let's settle it because it's not worth it.
Amen.
With that said, go to Matthew 26. We're going to look at a couple familiar passages, but I want to look at it from a different light. You know how you read this book and every time you go through the same chapter or some chapter, you hear the same verses and you get used to hearing some of the same things. But every now and then, when you go through it, the Lord shows you a little something. I want to focus on a couple people while this is going on. We know about 26 and the anointing of Jesus. It's the Last Supper. We're talking about kind of the last times before he gets captured. And I'm mentioning Judas and Peter tonight and how things could have been different. So Matthew 26, we're going to go to verse 14. I'm just going to read a couple pieces here and there and just put a thought in your head before we get started. Matthew 26, 14. And one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought the opportunity to betray him. We're going to stay in the same chapter, and we're going to go over to verse 47. It says, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with a great multitude of swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And then Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? And they came and they laid hands on him. We know not much after that is when Matthew goes back to the chief priests and wants to give the silver back. He, once Jesus is condemned, he repents himself. But at that point, it's too late. What Judas said, what he did, changed the future forever. With that, I want to go, we're going to stay in the same chapter. I want to look at Peter. Go back to verse 33. It says, Peter answered and said unto him, though all the men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Remember, he said that. I will never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. You guys probably know where I'm headed. Go to verse 69. Now Peter sat in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And he was gone into the porch. Another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him that they stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Paul remembered the word of Jesus and said unto him, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Once again, he repented of what he did, but it was too late. The point I want to push across tonight is the importance of your voice and the fact that time is of the essence. I want to pray first, if you guys don't mind. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to get behind this pulpit, Lord. It's another honor. It's another blessing, Lord. You keep bringing it back to us, Lord. I just thank you so much for that, Lord. With that said, Lord, get me out of the way. Lord, this is your service. We're here to honor you and to glorify you. And just, I ask that you, anything that could hinder any message, anything that I could bring, anything that's going on in this building, Lord, I ask that you cast it out. Let it know that it's not welcome, Lord. Allow me to be a vessel for your glory, Lord. Just please allow me to give this message as comfortably and as dedicated as I can be, Lord. Just keep me out of the way and just help me to serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Going back to Judas, we know that Judas sought out to betray Jesus. And throughout the whole thing, I mean, he was dedicated to the cause. He stayed with it. And I guess, in a way, with some men today, with some women today, the fact that they're dedicated to their cause could be a good thing. But it's only a good thing if the cause is for the right purpose. We look at this thing, and he sought out to betray Jesus. And when he realized what he was doing was wrong, yeah, he repented, but it was too late. Jesus was already captured. And the idea that I bring to this is, what could have happened if that whole thing just went a little differently? Now, I'm not saying we're going to change the concept of what happened, but I want to think about, what if before they made the deal, before he made the deal with any priests, he realized at that point, no, this isn't right. At that point, I'm sure the priest probably would have been something along the lines of, hey, you said you were going to come here. You said you were going to do this for me. You know, now you have a penalty to pay. Was he prepared to pay it? Would he have paid it for Jesus? You know, Peter, he went on to deny in every way he said that he wouldn't do it. He did it. Judas and Peter, every time I read about them, I can't help but to connect to the past a little bit, because at one point in time we were all a Judas. Yeah. At one point in time we were all a Peter. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Judas was selfish. That's the best way I can put it. He was possessed by the devil. And we learn that. You can read that. There's different accounts of how this goes on. But what he was doing was not of God. And once he realized that, he repented. We still have the opportunity now, today, to read this before we get in a little too deep and change some things up, to change that future that can't be changed anymore. You know, same thing with Peter. You know, he denied three different times. How many times before you guys got saved did you deny him? I spent 26 years doing it. You know, and for some it might be more, for some it might be less, but I can say for myself, I spent more than half of my life doing it, more than about three quarters of my life doing it. You know, I look at different preachers now, and I can't help, a lot of them are my age, and I can't help but think, man, what if the Lord had gotten a hold of me just a little bit earlier? You know, and I know that, like, when you think about it that way, it sounds selfish, and that's not what I'm trying to portray here. I can only pray that I didn't waste too much time, because there's still a job to do for all of us. Guys, you guys sit up here on the front row, and I love it. I love that you guys want front and center, but you guys understand this is not a title.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Okay, this is not a title. You're here to learn, you know, and I've said to each one of you, I think most of you have my number. If you don't, like, exchange it. You guys can call me anytime. You know that. I watch you guys every day. Every time we're in here, I'm watching this front row, and I pray for you. I think I've told you guys that. Each one of you, I pray for.
Amen.
And it's not because of, not just because of what can go on out there, but because of what I've seen from you in here. You know, some of you have been in church all of your life. Some of you are just getting started. Some of you have just finally turned a page. And though there was maybe some time wasted, and I can look this way too, it's not over. There's still, you can still make this up. You can still fix it. You can still make the change. You can still do it. It's not too late. You might have been wasting time. I've been wasting time. And I'll be the first to admit that. And I apologize with all my heart for that. It's time to make it up. It's time to make up for lost time. When we look at Judas and Peter, the reason why I brought them out is because, you know, one of them is a betrayal and one of them is a denial. And that's something that we all deal with on a regular basis, whether it has to do with things that we do on a daily basis, whether, I mean, even fasting is considered denying the flesh. Okay, so that's a denial. Okay, or how about that friend that, you know, they want your help. They need your help. You've been asking, you know, and they want you to be there, and something happens, and you have to apologize. You can't be there. You didn't set out to hurt them or betray them, but they might end up upset about it. That's nature. That's the way it's going to be. So we deal with denial and betrayal as a natural thing every day. That doesn't mean that because it happened, everything stops now. It doesn't stop now. So when it comes to different ways that we can deny or betray Jesus, I'm going to use this kind of interchangeably because it makes sense. You know, when it comes to denial, one of the first ways that you could deny Christ, besides your own personal denial of him, is denying your witnessing opportunities. You know, and I'm guilty of that too, just like anybody else. I mean, the pastor came up here and he's talked about before, he's been upset when he's gotten home and still had tracks in his pocket. You know, that's, in a way, to him mentally, that's a denial. He didn't set out, he didn't finish what he was going to do.
Yeah.
You know, and so that frustrates him. I think it would be great if we could all feel like that.
Yeah.
You know, is it upsetting? Sure. But you know what? It'll keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
You know, I have no doubt that every day, there, I mean, if you walk out of your house, you come across somebody that's lost, that has no clue about Jesus, that has never even looked at a Bible, let alone read a single chapter. You know, you could tell from their speech, by their mannerisms, and the way that they live their life, that they don't care to. You know, do you guys realize that you might be the only Bible that anybody ever has the opportunity to read?
Amen.
You know, we're supposed to memorize these verses. We're not just supposed to love this book, which we absolutely do. We're supposed to sear these words in our heart. Because when people come to us that are broken, that are hurt, they come to us because they're supposed to see something different. They're supposed to see there's something different about that guy. I know his story. I know what's going on with him. How is he still smiling? You know, they come to you because, you know what, I'm going through a hard time, and I know he's going through a hard time too. I got to figure out his secret. You guys better have the answer to that secret.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, there's no question about it. And I know that even coworkers, okay, guys, it's easy. All right, I've done it. You've done it. We've all done it. You go out, you see coworkers that are very much of the world, And you might not realize it right away, but you let your guard down just a little bit. Got real quiet. Boy, it got stuffy. It's weird. That is weird. I've never felt that before. You guys mad at me? Sorry. That's weird, man. Sorry. Anyway, but no. No, you push your guard down a little bit. Just a little bit. And then you realize you did it. That hurts. Like, ugh. And so, like, I mean, even in the current job I have now, I fully believe, I mean, this doesn't help me prove it, but I believe that the Lord gave me the job that I'm in. We moved from Maryland to Delaware with the sole purpose that we wanted to be closer to the church, that all the doctor's appointments for Luke were going to be right at our fingertips, that everything was going to be easier. And with that, I was like, well, if I'm going to live in Delaware, I'm going to work in Delaware. And job dropped right in my lap. I talked to a boss from 7 years ago that was like, I'm not even going to interview you. Come on. That was God. There's no explanation. That was God.
Amen.
Okay? But with that, doesn't mean that everybody I walk into is going to have a bright light shining over their head. Doesn't mean that they're going to be the nicest people in the world. Doesn't mean that they're all going to be of God, that God just filled the place with angels and here you go. Have fun. No.
Yeah.
No. No. If anything, it's the polar opposite. It's like, you know what? Here you go. I gave you this. Go win them.
Amen.
I'm going to do this for you. This is what I expect.
Yeah.
Is that any different than any other parent? You know what? You want that toy? I don't know. I'm thinking, I got a 3-year-old, okay? Just go with me. You want that toy? Better start acting right.
Yeah.
You want this? You want to go do this? I need you to clean up your room for me. Don't worry, I'll help you. I'll help you clean your room, but I need you to come help me. Okay, we need to do it together. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Guys, it's the same thing. Why is it so hard? Like, it sounds stupid. Doesn't it? It sounds dumb.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Right.
You know, other denials, man, I mean, temptations. Well, I mentioned giving into temptation a little bit when it comes to, you know, you have coworkers and stuff, and they have their little jokes that they tell, and you stick around for them. Or, you know, this thing's going on, and you know, you could get something out of it that will give you a little pleasure for a little while. It's like any other dumb thing in this world. But it ends up hurting you in the end. It's the same thing, temptations, it'll hurt you. That's a denial. You're denying Christ. If he asks you not to do it, if he asks you to stay away from that, refrain from it, why go back to it?
Amen.
Why?
Yeah.
It's denial. You need, like, if you're going to talk denial, stop denying God and deny yourself.
Yeah, amen.
That's where we're at.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, another way to deny, how about riding the fence? You know, you look at things today, like, when it comes to, I don't like talking politics from the pulpit, but unfortunately, some of it goes together. You know, you hear about some of the stuff going on about, you know, well, you know, whether it be abortion or whether it be, you know, people are even talking about adoption now and how they could corrupt that. Talking about, in California, pedophilia is starting to become a sexual orientation. If you guys didn't know that, look it up. It's real. Like, do you realize that there are actually people that could even be sitting in this building that agree that stuff's okay?
Yeah.
Let alone out there, let alone your coworkers, let alone going through the shopping mall, like let alone, you know, going to get your food on Friday night, you know, whatever. You could be surrounded by these people that think these nasty, perverse, unbiblical things, you know? And you walking right past them while they're talking about it, like it's okay, like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That's denial. Because that was an opportunity. That was an opportunity. Now, I'm not saying go out there and start causing waves and end up having this big raging riot in the middle of the, you know, Dover Mall. Let's not do that. But if you're given an opportunity to say something, if you're given the platform, take it.
Amen.
Just take it. You know, staying silent's a big one. You realize you could actually hurt people, but just by keeping your mouth shut.
Yep.
Yeah, it kind of goes along with it. You know, whether it be the loss, whether it be family, whether it be friends, even raising your kids, you know. I know we got a lot of parents in here, and I'm new to this game, like I said, 3-year-old. But real quick, I learned that if I keep giving him everything he wants, I'm creating a monster. I'm creating a spoiled, rotten brat is what I'm doing. You know, are you a spoiled, rotten brat with God? There's a thought. I know I have been. I'm guilty of it. We've all taken that a little bit. We've all been there. You know, but some are nodding and some are going. I'm telling you, man, we've all done it. Don't lie to yourself. Come on. The big one that stood out to me was leading in the wrong direction. I have a big couple of letters here, watch your mouth. And we're all guilty of saying the wrong thing sometimes. You know. When you react on emotion alone, normally that's when that comes out. You know, you'll say something off the wall, off kilter, that will set someone off. You know, you have, even like with us, for example, we have family members that just don't understand how important church is to us now. They don't understand how important Jesus Christ is in our life now.
Amen.
But if I go to them and call them names, hey, you're a moron if you don't come to church with us. You know, I start, you know, talking about how wrong and evil they are and how much of a sinner they are. Now, granted, they need to understand that they're sinners. But you got to be careful, man.
Yeah.
What happened with compassion?
Yeah.
Where did that thing go? Because, and I'm just as guilty as anyone, especially when it comes to family members, because I'm like, you know, you guys have seen, you've seen where we've come from. You've seen what we used to do. You know, you've seen everything that we've been a part of, and you've seen everything that's happened over the past, and you've seen the change. Like, we get frustrated. We all do. Because we have family members that just don't get it. They don't get it. It's easy to get frustrated, right? That doesn't mean I need to go over to somebody and rip their face off. No, because at some point in your life, you had somebody that you probably ticked off because you didn't listen to them, that you probably shrugged off because they're one of them crazy church people. And out of nowhere, they're like, you know what, I love you anyway. I'm going to keep praying because you're worth it. I tell you, there's been so many times where people have come up and they've been angry. And like, I'll tell you, I'll be the first to apologize. Like I said, if there's anything that's going on in this building between you and I, please come see me. I want to make it right because we can't have division in the church. We can't do it. I don't want it. We don't need it.
Amen.
Let's fix it. That should be the same way with all of us, though. What about family? What about friends? Now, granted, and I know, you know, Nathan, I'll talk to you about, you know, the situation of mom. I think I'm praise God, man, she got saved. That's the real deal. But do you realize that, like, that took time? And it took him not going to her and being like, you crazy witch. Like, I know that sounds funny, but you all heard that, right? He wanted to a couple times, but he didn't. Why? Because she'd have turned around and hightailed out without a second thought, without a second look. You know, now granted, I know everybody's different. Some people need harder preaching than others to kind of get the point. Okay? Very clear. I get that. But then you kind of have to have that discernment.
That's right.
If there's no discernment, yeah, you might win a few, but I can guarantee you're going to push more away than you bring in.
Amen.
And the only reason why I know is because I've done it. I had to learn the hard way. We've all had to learn the hard way. Anybody that's been here for a certain amount of time has learned that already. Okay? You know, so discernment, compassion, man, it goes a long way. When I started this, I started talking about, you know, the importance of your voice and how time is of the essence. We know where the world's headed at this point. Like, as a church, we hold no bones about where everything's going. And the darkness is kind of starting to take over, it seems like. You know, and the Bible speaks of it, it's expected. You know, it doesn't make it any easier to deal with or tolerate, but it's happening. You know, the more we stay silent, the more that we don't do anything, the more that we deny the call of what we're supposed to do, man, I mean, granted, I want to see Jesus as much as you do, but I want to win as many people as we can before it happens.
Yeah.
You know, you walking past people, you're sending them right to hell. You know, and that's something that through reading, I mean, I felt it anyway, but it's hard to explain unless it happens. You always have to have your heart broke for it. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
You have to have your heart broke for it. Because, I mean, it's all well and good. Man, you got saved, man. Like, your family's getting saved. Like, they're all starting to learn. This guy didn't learn. He's an idiot, you know. But do you see how flip-floppy we are? You see it? Well, this guy's not going, but, I mean, we knew that. Come on. Come on. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, there are some people, we all have them, that it's like, I'm not going to enjoy, like, sitting down to a dinner with you, so probably not going to come. Thanks. Right? But, does that mean you want to send them directly to hell? No. No. Do you realize that some people are okay with that? Do you realize that that's what you're doing when you don't talk to them? That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing when you don't talk to them. You know, I still go back to Ken when we went to the men's meeting, that gas station. You know Ricky still talks about that? That got him. That got him. You know, we still pray for Ricky. But, man, that got his attention because he went and he didn't come to me about it. I didn't expect him to. But I found out just recently that he went to my wife and was like, you know, I can see it now. I saw it firsthand. I saw a gas station attendant take a knee in the middle of a dirty gas station in a puddle and pray for her salvation.
Yeah.
Baby, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. You know, another one is you know, I went with Brother Jesse a couple, 2 years ago, I think, down to Virginia, and there was a big rally down there. And we had seen salvation. I love it. I mean, we all love. We need to glory when somebody gets saved. But man, we had this. We went to this revival, and it was a little sticky, like for the first day. Just when I say sticky, I'm talking about there must have been glue in the pews. Yeah, it was sticky. That second night, man, the white throne judgment was the message. And in an auditorium that's only supposed to seat 700 or 800 people, they were pushing 1,000. There was standing room all in the back. There were seats down each of the sides. Like, there was hardly any walkway up at the front. And after the message, there was an altar call. And I had talked to the associate pastor beforehand, and he was like, you know, when they do the altar call, just keep an eye out. And if we have a big reception, then come down and just see how you can help, however the case. So he did that altar call, and I'm not kidding. Out of pushing 1,000 people, a good 700-800 people stood up. When that happens, man, like, I couldn't breathe. Like, you've been in a church where, like, it's gotten cloudy, man. Like, the Lord has shown up, okay? We couldn't breathe. Like, even Jesse, he obviously can't see anything. Like, what is going on around here? He leaned back at me. He was like, what just happened? I'm like, Jesse, this whole place just stood up. And he's like, get to work. So first thing out of his mouth was, get to work. Okay, man. I grabbed my Bible, went down there, and brought this little guy to me. He was like 6 or 7 years old. He came to me. He was kind of stuttering. He was crying. He wasn't sure what it was all about. But he knew that he didn't want to go to hell. That was nice and clear coming out of his mouth. I said, okay, buddy. I said, well, here's what we're going to do. I was like, well, sit down. I said, I want to show you. I walked him all through Romans Road. He answered every question I had. You know, do you believe that, you know, Jesus Christ died for you? Yeah. Do you believe that he rose again? Yeah. Do you believe he did it because you're a sinner and you were headed to hell and that he wants you to be saved? Yeah. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to bow your head. I'm going to pray for you to have the right words to talk to God yourself because I can't say it for you. The importance of your voice. I can't say it for you. I said, okay, all right. So I went through and you know, just praying that the Lord just take over.
Amen.
Like, it was nothing that we could have done. It was nothing that, I mean, granted, he might have used the message to push this kid up to the altar. But Otherwise, man, it's been the Lord. Nothing I could have done. It's nothing this kid could have changed. It was nothing. It was all God. And so I was like, Lord, just take this thing over. Lord, we want this kid to be saved. He wants to be saved. He wants to know you. He wants to understand you. I finished praying. I looked at him. He looked back at me. I said, all right, buddy, batter up. I can't do it, but I'm here with you. I'm sitting here with you. You go ahead and pray. You know, there's something about a kid. 6 or 7 years old, finally gets it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And not only do they get that they get to go to heaven, but that they can help their family go too.
That's right, yeah.
You know, I sat there with a kid, and he went through, and I told him, I said, you know, talk to God like he's an old friend. Talk to him like he's one of your buddies. I mean, he started that thing. Hey, God, it's me. It's like, okay, all right. Hey, God, it's me. I thank you for letting me come to this mess, come to the service. This is about word for word, but basically thanking him for letting him come to the service. He thanked him for the friend that invited him. He thanked him for his parents allowing him to go. Well, he said, Lord, he said, Lord, I'm scared. He said, because I didn't know about hell. He had no clue.
Wow.
He said, I didn't know about hell. He said, I thought I was doing the right thing by going to church on Sundays with mom and dad. And I don't know what church he came from. Whatever church it was, he had no clue what hell was about. And he went through, he said, I don't want to go to hell. And he's like, so, again, talking to a friend, he's like, if it's not too much trouble. And he's crying. He said, if it's not too much trouble, I want to be in heaven with you. He's like, so, will you come in my heart? And man, he went on for a little while, and by the time it was all said and done, we were both soaking wet. I don't know whether we were sweating, crying, or it was snot, or just what, but we were nasty. But, you know, he came out of the prayer, and it was like a hug that just lasted forever, which was okay by me. You know, as if that wasn't good enough, the greatest part, we stood up. I was like, okay, I'm going to find a way out of this hole. Because, like, we were here. I'm not kidding. It was like, there was just no way out. And so this guy came up, which I later found out, I didn't give him to some random stranger, it was his youth pastor. And the guy came up and he just put his arms out. Like, I'm supposed to just take this kid and hand him off. Okay, so I pick him up and I hand him off. They walk away and like, now I'm like, all right, now I look like a dummy surrounded by everybody, I'm just kind of standing here. Then I see two sets of feet walk up. It was another adult with another crying kid, maybe 7 or 8 years old. And the guy took the kid. Hand him to me again. Brother, we were back at it again.
Wow.
We were back at it again. You know that altar call lasted about 2 hours? I think the oldest one that got saved that night was like 16. Isn't that what it's about? Like, that whole place, the next day, I don't even know if you want to call it service. We were singing, stuff was getting thrown. I mean, it was nuts. But it was all because a group of people put on an event because they had it in their hearts for kids to learn about Jesus. It took the right message, the right time, the right place, the parents allowing it, the friend inviting them. All of it. You know, you can't do any of that without words. You know, yeah, you can go. Or, hey, buddy, man, you want to come with me? It's going to be a real good time. They had a real good time last year. You should come. Mom, Dad, is it okay? Yeah, it's okay. Is there a bus going? Yeah, do I have to pay anything? No. We'll take care of it. There's a preacher. There's an associate pastor. There's pastor. God set all that up for the right people to say the right thing at the right time to the right people. Do you realize that every time you walk away, you're denying God again? Do you realize that every time that somebody comes to you with a question and you don't have the answer to it, that's denial? That's betrayal. We're called, we're expected to stand up and hold it up. You know, here's the last thought, and I'll end it with this because I know we're pushing it. But do you realize you can't get saved because somebody else spoke for you? Sure, they can invite you, they can call you, they can encourage you to come, they can read God's voice to you. But do you realize that it takes a personal conviction and a personal outright request for salvation? But I can't save you guys. Really, you can't save you guys. You can ask that the Lord save you. The importance of your voice and time is of the essence. I don't know about you guys, but I know personally that I've wasted a lot of time. I'm sitting here, how old am I? I'm 33, right? You stop counting after like 25, right? Anyway, but all that time, man, I can't imagine how different things would have been if I understood how important everything was back then. Don't waste time. That's all I can say. Stop wasting time. Get in the book. If you're not saved, what are you waiting for? There's no time like now. Time's of the essence. Lord, thank you. Thank you for that message. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to preach that message, Lord. You know, I know that when I was writing that thing, Lord, you were talking directly to me. I know that's how this thing works, Lord. But I know that I just wanted to help giving this message, Lord, and I hope that we did that. Lord, I thank you for stepping in and guiding this thing along. I was nervous. I was confused. I didn't want to upset anybody, Lord, and I hope that I didn't. If I had, Lord, please help us to settle that tonight. But, Lord, I just thank you for stepping in, intervening with this thing, for helping us out, for giving us strength, helping us to continue to unify as a church, Lord. This church is talked about all over about its faith and its dedication, Lord. And I know people don't know the ins and outs of what's going on here, Lord, and I feel like we're a solid church, Lord, but there's no such thing as too strong. So, Lord, I ask that you continue to unify us, continue to give us strength. Any burdens that are in between any of us, Lord, help us squash it. Help us settle it. Let's get rid of it. It's done. We don't need it. Lord, we just want to serve you. And, Lord, help remind us on a daily basis that time is of the essence and that the more that we deny you, the more that we push aside the opportunity to witness for you, that's just more people that won't get to know your glory, Lord. And that falls on us, and we're going to have to answer for that. Lord, we thank you for this evening and everything that you've done and that you're going to do. I ask that you listen to these prayers as they're about to come up, Lord, and just continue to guide us along. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.